Hello and welcome once again to Online Worship for Faith Community United Methodist Church. This is our worship service for March 29th, 2020. I was really pleased with the response we got last week. How many of you accessed our online worship service and were able to connect and worship with us in that way during this time that we're not able to gather in person? We're learning some new things through this time. We're gaining some new skills, and we're still staying connected with God and with one another through this process. I do want to say, though, that this online worship, as great as it is to have this resource in this time, is not really a substitute for gathering together in person. That really is God's intention for us in worship, is to gather in person, and we really look forward to being able to do that again as soon as possible. But in this time where we're not able to do that, we are thankful to God for this technology and those with the skills to use it and the ability to stay connected and to continue in worshiping our God through this time. We give thanks to God in all things, just as the scripture says, give thanks in everything. And we do give thanks to God for his continuing presence with us and the ability to worship with him in this way. We're going to begin worship today with a hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. This is a time of prayer for us, and I have some men helping me with the hymns this week, and I hope that you will sing along with us as well, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Join with me now in our call to worship. Sing praises to God, O you saints, and give thanks to God's holy name. We exalt you, O God, for you have restored us to life. We may cry through the night, but your joy comes in the morning. You hear us, O God, and you are gracious in our distress. You turn our mourning into dancing. Our souls cannot be silent. O God, our Savior, we give thanks to you forever. And let us join together in praying our opening prayer. Days pass and years vanish, and we walk sightless among miracles. Lord, fill our eyes with seeing and our minds with knowing. Let there be moments when your presence, like lightning, illumines the darkness in which we walk. Help us to see wherever we gaze that the bush burns unconsumed, and we, clay touched by God, will reach out for holiness and exclaim in wonder, how filled with awe is this place, and we did not know it. Blessed is the Eternal One, the Holy God. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Our New Testament lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Do not be anxious about anything, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I received a lot of great compliments about the worship service last week, and I really appreciate that. You all really build me up with your words of encouragement. One of the most common comments that I got was a number of people saying that they really enjoyed this setting that we have here in our newly renovated narthex, and they said it looked really comfortable. They said, "You looked so at ease." One woman likened it to what FDR's fireside chats might have been like. Not that she experienced those personally, mind you, but what she imagined it must have been like. For a moment, I tried to figure out how I could get a makeshift fireplace in here, but don't worry, I dropped that idea. While I do appreciate people telling me how comfortable I looked, I'm going to let you in on a little secret just between you and me and whatever pet is watching with you right now. The truth is that I am almost always anxious. I'm constantly worrying about whether or not I'm doing the right thing, forever stressing about messing up, not getting it perfect, whatever it might be. I'm not telling you this to gain sympathy or for you to tell me that I'm doing a great job or for you to say, "Oh, you look so calm, we really couldn't tell." I'm confessing my anxiety to you because I know how I feel inside when I read the opening words to our epistle lesson for today, Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. How about being anxious about everything? That's where I am. Not just because of the coronavirus and the stay-at-home order and the uncertainty in society right now. It's just my everyday life. It's the what I live on a normal basis. I have anxiety. So when the Bible tells me don't be anxious about anything, my initial response is, yeah, right. I figure if that's the way that I feel, then there are probably a lot of you that can relate to that as well, especially with the way things are in the world right now, the fact that we don't know what's coming day by day. Can we at least be honest that there is a lot of anxiety going around right now and that it affects just about all of us? If you are one of the blessed few who is immune to anxiety, God bless you. But please realize that for those of us who aren't, it's not a defect or of character, or it's not a lack of faith. It's just one of the realities of our human condition. We are fallen people living in a fallen world. But we are not without hope. God has not abandoned us or our world to our fallen condition. Rather, God has stepped into our world in order to redeem and restore it. God comes to us in our lives, wherever we are, to strengthen us in our weakness and to give us hope. When Paul tells us in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, he knows that that is not an easy thing to do. He knows it's not going to come naturally. So he goes on in the same verse to tell us how to handle the fact. Do not be anxious in anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, he goes on. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is our hope in trying times. Not that we can force ourselves not to be anxious through sheer willpower or create our own peace through rugged determination, but the peace of God, that is our hope. There is our peace, the peace of God, which is so amazing that we can't even comprehend it. The peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of Christ Jesus if we just keep praying, if we just keep turning to Him. Some of you know that I like to run. From the time that I started running several years ago, there's a certain mantra that goes through my head whenever I get to that point where I'm tired and I feel like stopping. The mantra is this: just keep moving. Just keep moving. If you're a Disney fan, you probably remember Dory from the movie Finding Nemo. As she swam along through the ocean, she'd sing to herself, "Just keep swimming, just keep swimming." So when I get tired and I can't run fast anymore, I remind myself, it doesn't really matter if I'm running fast or slow. Just keep moving, just keep moving. When it comes to running the course of faith, when trials continue to pop up, when we begin to grow weary, when anxieties press us down, the mantra we need is this: just keep praying. Just keep praying. That's the key. That's what will keep us growing in faith. That's what will connect us to the power of God and the peace of God that He so desperately wants to give us. Just keep praying. Our gospel lesson from Luke is about a persistent widow and an unrighteous judge. The persistent widow keeps coming to the unrighteous judge day after day, pleading her case until finally the unrighteous judge finally breaks down and gives her the justice that she's been crying for. Jesus told this parable. It isn't about an actual widow or a real life judge. Rather, these are characters in a story that Jesus tells to make a point. And unlike with some of the parables, Luke tells us what the point is that Jesus is trying to make in this story. Verse 1, he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. So right up front, we know that the point of this story is to just keep praying. But I have to say, it can be easy to misunderstand what Jesus is saying here about God. It's obvious that the woman pleading her case for justice represents us, showing us the persistence that we need in our faith, in our prayers. But does that make God the unjust judge? Is Jesus saying we can and should wear God down by our prayers so that He'll reluctantly give in and give us what we want just to make us go away? Not at all. In fact, Jesus is saying that God is nothing like the unjust judge. Will not God give justice to His elect? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Not because we wear Him down by convincing Him to do something He doesn't want to do, but because He wants to give us all good things. We should continue to go to God in prayer because we know who God is. Unlike the judge in the story, God is just. God is good. God is love. The point of the widow and the unjust judge is this: if the widow kept at it and never lost heart, even though she was making her request to a man who is evil and unjust and not inclined to listen to her, then we have every reason to keep the faith when we are pleading with a God who is perfect and righteous and good, loving and eager to listen to all our requests, willing to heed the cry of our hearts. Make your requests known to God by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving because we know God hears us. Thanksgiving because we know and can trust that God loves us. We are confident in God's mercy. We are certain that He is delivering us even now. Whether we see it now or not, whether we feel it in the moment or not, our God is at work for our good, putting all things to rights, establishing justice, healing the world, redeeming creation, making all things new. Just keep praying. Trust that this is all in God's hands, under His control. knowing that His glory will be revealed, knowing that our lives are secure in His perfect love. Jesus ends His parable with this question: when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? The question posed to us is, do we have enough faith? Do we trust enough in God's power and God's love to just keep praying until we see His promises come to fruition? Will we stick with Him in prayer until the fullness of His blessings are made manifest in our lives? Will we continue to pray, continue to believe, and to keep pressing on even unto perfection? Or will we sell ourselves and our Savior short? Will we listen to the lies of the devil and settle into our sin? Or will we believe the gospel, claim the truth that God is delivering us from all sin, and continue pressing on to that promise right up until the day that the Son of Man comes? Just keep praying. Feeling discouraged or overwhelmed, just keep praying. Not sure what the future holds, just keep praying. Wondering what to do with your anxieties, where to find peace, just keep praying. Trusting that God has yet more goodness in store for you, eager to see justice prevail, desiring to know God's perfect love, filling your heart so completely that there is no more room for sin, just keep praying. Just keep praying. This week finishes up our series, A Perfect Love, which is part of a conference-wide focus on John Wesley's A Plain Account of Christian Perfection. I said in the first week of this series that I first heard about John Wesley's teachings on Christian perfection when I was a religious studies major at Wright State University. It seemed strange to me, growing up as I did in a United Methodist church, my grandfather being a United Methodist pastor, yet never having heard of this doctrine until I went to a secular university. How did this teaching that had been so foundational in the beginnings of our denomination get so pushed aside that it was hardly ever spoken of in the church anymore? When it came time for me to do my senior year capstone course, I decided to pursue that question. My thesis paper was entitled A Concise History of the Doctrine of Christian Perfection in American Methodism. I know that sounds fascinating to you. I'll let you read it whenever you want. One of the things I learned in my research is that there were debates between various factions of Methodists, even denominational splits, over whether this second blessing, as entire sanctification was called, whether this second blessing came about instantaneously in a single moment or whether it was given gradually over many years, even over a lifetime, as we continue to grow in grace. It's actually a question that John Wesley himself addressed, and pretty clearly. Wesley made the point that since this is a work of God, it can happen at any time, even in a single moment. And when we're talking about entire sanctification, the complete eradication of sin, regardless of how long it takes to get there, there is a moment in which love fills all and sin is erased in full. In that sense, it is an instantaneous blessing. There is a moment in which sin is completely removed and God's love is all in all. But it almost always involves a long, often lifelong process to get there. So in that sense, it is gradual and progressive. Think of it in terms of a human birth. Birth is a momentary thing. No matter how long the birthing process takes, there is a moment at which the baby emerges into the world. At that moment, the baby moves from one reality to another. One moment, she was inside her mother. The next moment, she is out in the world. But the reality of having a baby is anything but instantaneous. Not only the fact that the mother can be in active labor for hours or sometimes even days, there's also the whole nine-month-long process that went on even before that, all of which led to that one moment. When the woman conceives, she knows that that birth is a long way off, but she begins preparing for it immediately. She is careful what she eats and drinks, knowing that what she puts into her body will make a difference. She's careful about her activities, avoiding things that might cause harm to the pregnancy. She takes vitamins, she makes preparations, and she prays. And she prays. As she is careful to do her part in all these things, the life within her grows as God directs by His grace. So too is the process of sanctification within the life of a Christian. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God begins working a new life within us. And so just as the pregnant mother is careful to nurture the new life growing within her, so too is the Christian careful to nurture the new life of Christ growing within. Listen again to what Paul writes to the Philippians. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Think on these things. Practice these things. In other words, take care how you feed your mind and your spirit. Avoid those activities that lead you away from God. Take your spiritual vitamins. Make preparations for the kingdom that is at hand. And pray. And keep praying. As you are careful to do your part in these things, the life of Christ grows within you as it is directed and strengthened by God's grace. It's all about God's grace and our cooperation in prayer. God's grace transforming our minds into the mind of Christ. God's grace renewing our spirits by the Spirit of Christ. God's grace bringing us to His perfect intentions for us through His perfect love. We cooperate most powerfully with that grace. We display our faith most profoundly in that grace when we are persistent in prayer. So just keep praying. Amen. And we are going to pray together in song now with our prayer hymn, which is Breathe on Me, Breath of God. I invite you to sing with me.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what Thou dost love, and do what Thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with Thee I will one will to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly Thine, till all this earthly part of me glows with Thy fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with Thee the perfect life of thine eternity.
Let us bow in prayer. O gracious and holy God of love, we praise your name, for you alone are holy, and yet you call us to holiness. You alone are perfect love, and you lead us on to perfection. We pray to you, Lord, for what else can we do? When the world around us is sick, when people that we love are hurting, we cry out to you. Heal our world, heal our loved ones. Give us that peace which passes understanding. Lord, we lift up to you those people who keep our society running, who work to provide for all our needs. For doctors and nurses and all hospital workers, for nursing home staffs, for grocery store workers and truck drivers and so many others. For all those essential workers who leave home and go to work each day to serve us and our needs. And for those who protect us, police and firefighters and all emergency responders, protect them all, Lord. Shield them from all harm. And fill us with gratitude for all those who put themselves at risk for us. Shower them with your mercy, Lord. For the many who are unemployed at this time, we ask for your provision. Give them all that they need to get by in this time, and give them hope for a prosperous future. For those of us who have all that we need, give us generous hearts to love and to care for and to provide for those who are without. For all those who are charged with leading us through this time, government officials, church leaders, and all those with influence in our society and in our world, give them your wisdom. Give them discernment through uncertain times. Make their wills yielding to your will, Lord. And that is our prayer for us as well. Breathe your loving spirit upon us until our hearts are pure, until our thoughts and desires derive only from your perfect love. Keep us in prayer with you until we are grown into that full stature of Christ. It's in his name and by his power and filled with his love that we pray to you now, using the words that he teaches us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We do during worship each week take up an offering, and I mentioned last week during the worship service that you can give your offering online, and many of you have done that, and I want to thank you for doing that and encourage others to try that out. You just go on to our website, www.fcum.org, and up at the top there is a give button that you can click on. If you're not comfortable doing that, of course you can mail a check to the church office. You can't drop it off right now because the office is closed due to the stay-at-home order, but we are still checking messages and checking mail each day, so you can send that into the office as well, and I pray that you will do that in a worshipful spirit, as worship is giving ourselves and our resources over to God. Thank you for all that you do to keep the ministries here going through this time. Our closing hymn now is In the Garden. Thank you for worshiping online with us again this week. Thank you to those who assisted with the worship service this week. I hope that you have been blessed by this time together, and I hope that you will share it with others so that we can continue to praise God and to worship our God through this time, trusting in His goodness, in His grace, and in His love. And now may the love of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.